Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Roxanne Lawler, Associate Pastor. Thanks for joining us this week. This week, Associate Pastor Matt Willis launches a series called The Kingdom of Heaven is Like. This series explores the parables Jesus taught which explain the Kingdom of Heaven, recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel. Matt unpacks the term Kingdom of Heaven and covers why Jesus taught in parables, and then narrows in on the parable of the sower, sometimes called the parable of the soils. And he's looking at the soil we have in our own lives.
The reading this morning is from Matthew 13, verses 1 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has been given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even when they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
Well done, Tanya. That was a doozy. Well, welcome everyone to church. It's great to have you here as we start this new series about the kingdom of heaven. And I don't know about you, but I've spent a little bit of time in the scriptures and a lot is said about the kingdom of heaven. A lot of different things, a lot of different illustrations, analogies, pictures, ideas, and it all kind of gets, for me, at times, a little bit muddled. The kingdom of heaven. Well, the kingdom of heaven is like a place. It's the very presence of God. It's his chosen people whose lives are used like bricks to construct the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is God's house. It's a new city, the new Jerusalem. It is paradise on earth. The kingdom of heaven is the past, the present, and the future. It is the now and the not yet. It is the everlasting. The kingdom of heaven is like a net cast out, catching all different kinds of fish. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, smallest of all, and yet has the potential to grow the grandest of trees. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed thrown out by the sower, falling, striving to grow in all kinds of places, in all kinds of soil. The kingdom of heaven is everywhere around us. It is in everything that we see, everything that we hear, everything that we feel, taste, and smell. And yet, it can be, at times, intangible, unrecognizable to us. The kingdom of heaven is like a paradox. It is a question we yearn to answer. It is a mystery we are seeking to discover. The kingdom of heaven is like, je ne sais quoi. I just don't know. And within, amongst all this confusion, all these different ideas, all these different symbols and analogies and illustrations, you would think, surely, with all of our questions, with all of our wondering, with all of our desire to uncover the mystery, that Jesus, the one whose ministry began by saying, the kingdom of heaven is here, a statement which suggests that he has seen it, that he can perceive it, that he has been in it, that maybe his teachings, maybe his ministry would do something to, I don't know, simplify it for us, make it understandable for us, obtainable, that Jesus would kind of come in with all of the answers and just lay it all out on the table for us and go, here it is, guys. Off you go. And yet what we find is something a little bit different. What we find is Jesus coming in and teaching in parables. More nuance, more symbolism, more I don't know what, to describe the kingdom of heaven. And I don't know about you, but I'm left asking the exact same question that the disciples asked on the beach that day in chapter 13. Jesus, what's with all the parables? Can you just lay it out simple for us? And I've got to admit, at first glance, Jesus' response to that question doesn't give me the sense of hope, the sense of, oh, the answer's coming that I would like when you're kind of asking questions of Jesus. Because his response at first glance makes us question whether or not Jesus is interested in helping us discover exactly what the kingdom of heaven is like. Did you hear him in verse, what was it, 10, I believe. 10, when the disciples ask, why do you speak to the people in parables? And in verse 11, Jesus responds, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting here freaking out because am I the have-nots? Am I the one who, with the little bit of understanding that I have, is going to be taken away? Is there no hope in me understanding exactly what the kingdom of heaven is like? And really, is Jesus at all interested in making it understandable for me? At first glance, we can read Jesus' response as kind of like, well, guys, it's cut and dry. It's black and white. It's simple in the fact of you either get it or you don't. You're either the haves or the have-nots, the insider or the outsider? And really, what's the point in me being understandable, in me trying to make things clear, in me trying to simplify it for you when the have-nots, the outsiders, the people without, they're just not going to get it anyway? Why should I be concerned with being understood when they'll never understand? It's concerning, right? It concerned me, let's put it that way. I had a little crisis in my office. But we always have to test Scripture with Scripture, don't we? We can't just take one moment, one comment from Jesus and go, well, this is it. We have to put it against Scripture in its entirety. And when I look at the character of God through the narrative of Scripture, both in the Old and the New Testament, I see a God with a deep desire to be known, to reveal himself to his people, to not have secrets, but to actually have a relationship that is defined by openness and a sharing of experience. It reminds me of that famous psalm that talks about the very creation, the very heavens declaring the glory of God, that the skies demonstrate for us the work of his hands. In the very world that we find ourselves in every aspect of it, big and small, God has placed a part of himself in that so that we might look at it and perceive him. See him, know his work, what he's about, what he's trying to achieve, so that we can just taste him, perceive him, experience him, even in the smallest of measurements. I don't think Jesus is unconcerned with revealing the kingdom of God. I think when we look at the narrative of Scripture, we see our God and his Son be very concerned with revealing who he is and what he has brought with him in the kingdom of heaven. Whew, that's comforting. I'm less concerned now. But there's still more in what Jesus says in his response to why parables that kind of raise an eyebrow here and there. You might have picked it up in verse 14 when he references the prophet Isaiah, and it's from Isaiah 6. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. And what Jesus is referencing is a time where Isaiah had a word for the people of God, and they were so caught up in their own world. They were so blinded by their own sin. They had hardened their hearts to the way of God so much that when Isaiah brought the very word of God to them, they refused to listen. They had no desire to hear or see or understand, and they had completely turned away. They had hardened their hearts to the point where the words that Isaiah spoke to them bore no fruit. And again, being the anxious individual that I am, I'm starting to freak out a little bit. Because all of a sudden I'm like, well, does sin exclude me indefinitely from ever being able to understand the workings of God and his kingdom? Am I, as a sinful person, which, plot twist, we all are, does that sin just cut the cord? Disconnect me indefinitely, entirely, from ever being able to perceive the things of God? And again, I encourage us to consider the bigger picture of who we know Jesus to be. And Paul writes that while we were all sinners, Christ died for us. The disciples, we know in their stories to come, they're not perfect. It's great comfort to me. And yet they perceive the secrets of the kingdom. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all will have sin in our life, this side of eternity. And yet what Jesus did on the cross, what he did through his death and resurrection, conquering the grave and sin, he broke the chains. Sin no longer has power to separate us from God in the way that it did before Jesus. And so again, although Isaiah was talking to a people who had a calloused heart, a hard heart, and we too can have times of hardening heart, the power of God is far greater. His revelation is far more bright that we will be able to see it even in the depth of sin and the darkness of brokenness. So then we're still left with the question, Jesus, why the parables? You want to reveal yourself to us. Our sin doesn't stop us from experiencing your truth. So why can't you just lay it out clean and simple for us? And the reason Jesus, I believe, uses these parables to help us unpack the mystery and the wonder of the kingdom of heaven is because Jesus understands the kingdom of heaven. Like I said, he had declared it's here. He had been there at its beginning. He is the kingdom of heaven and therefore is able to grasp the fact that we will never be able to grasp it, not in this lifetime. That the kingdom of heaven and the God who reigns over it is too lofty for us to obtain, is too big for us to ever have the capacity to kind of step back and go, oh yeah, 30,000 foot view, I see the big picture. I see all the pieces on the chessboard, the pieces of the puzzle and how they fit together. Huh, I've totally wrapped my head around the kingdom of heaven. Jesus understands its complexity. He understands its magnitude. And he understands that we will never be able to understand it until we arrive there in eternity. And so, surprisingly and almost ironically, the reason that Jesus uses these parables to help explain the kingdom of God is because the parables are actually Jesus' way of dumbing it down for us. Ironic, I know. Because here's the thing about parables. They are, in nature, incomplete. They cannot encapsulate everything that Jesus is trying to teach in one parable. Think about it when we talk about the character of God and we refer to him as a father. That reference tells us something about God, doesn't it? It tells us and helps us understand that God as a father cares for his children, loves his children, wants to provide for his children, wants to shape his children to be the best that they can be, like so many parents do. It tells us something really profound about who God is. It does not tell us everything that God is. It is but a bite, a slice of the cake that we get to chew on bit by bit without getting terrible indigestion. And the same is what parables do. They are incomplete because Jesus knows he can't give it to us all in one hit, but just piece by piece, bite by bite. And parables are not designed to give the big picture. They're not designed to provide us an opportunity to step back and look at it all in its entirety and kind of go, I got it now. But rather, a parable invites you in. It encourages you to step into the story, into the analogy, so that you can look around and consider all the various elements that he's talking about. It's designed to raise questions and create discussion. It's not the formula A plus B equals C, but rather the debate the community, the conversation that happens as we all kind of share our own insights, our own perspectives, our own experiences. There's a reason why so many of Jesus' parables are centered around farming and agriculture and fishing. Because in the society of the time, people understood that. It was a story that they could step in, whether they were a fisherman, farmer or not. They all kind of understood the industry. It was so imperative in the way that their society worked. And so the parable draws us in to help us gain insight. The best way that I can describe it is, have you ever had that moment where a word has completely escaped you? It's a word you've used 100 times before. It's normally, I find it when I'm writing my conclusion to like a college essay, right on the crunch. So like, I need this to happen now, which is great. But that moment where you forget the word and yet you can picture it. You can picture it in a sentence. You know its definition. You know how to use it in the right context. You've experienced it in some way. And as you grapple to take it from the tip of your tongue, you know the vibe, you know the marbo, like you know it, but yet you can't say the word. The kingdom of heaven is like the word. And the parable is the vibe. It's the marbo. It's the skimming off it. It's the, I know the context, but I just can't say it. That's why Jesus uses these parables, so that just bit by bit, we can have a taste. We can see but a fraction of the picture. We can hear just a sentence of the story. And bit by bit, understand a bit more exactly what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so, with that said, because I like asking questions, why then this parable? Why does he start with this? What does this parable tell us? And again, if we're stepping into this story, the kinds of questions that we want to ask is, you know, who's this sower? And is he really that good of a farmer? Because he is wasting seed. He's just throwing it on the path. This guy don't care. But then maybe, is that because he's got such a surplus of the seed? Does he have such an immeasurable amount that it actually doesn't matter? There is plenty to go around. And who are these birds? Why are they sticking around the place, swooping in, taking my seeds? And what are the rocks in the soil? Where are these weeds coming from? And why do they have the ability to choke out the harvest? And how do I get the good soil so that I can produce a crop 30, 60, 100 times? Why is Jesus telling me this parable? And it's interesting because a number of the parables that we're going to unpack over the following weeks, they have the sentence, the kingdom of heaven is like. It's providing that slice, that piece of the puzzle. This passage doesn't. Jesus in this passage isn't telling us what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's telling us what we need to consider in order to perceive the kingdom of heaven. And so if we've stepped into the parable and we're looking around at all the elements, we know that we're not the sower, right? That's for the big guy. Like, that's God. We know we're not the seed. That's the kingdom of heaven. And the harvest isn't even our job either. Again, that's God. So then who are we? We're the soil. And I think what's important to understand is that we should never just take the soils. Jesus gives his explanation of what they all are. And sometimes we can hear that and go, well, I'm this. All in one. I'm the seed on the path, or I'm the shallow soil, or I'm the weeded, thorny soil, or I'm the good one. I mean, we all want to be the good one, don't we? And yet we kind of go, well, there are some rocks, there are some weeds, so it means that I can't have any good soil. Again, we take this very cut and dry, black and white approach. And I actually want to encourage you today that I don't believe that that's Jesus' intention. I think his intention is for us to consider the various types of soil that we might have in our life. Because there is no field that has completely perfect soil. You're always going to find some rocks. You're always going to have to pull out some weeds. There are always going to be some birds flying around ready to swoop. And so I think the challenge for us as we begin this series exploring exactly what the kingdom of heaven is like is, okay, where is my good soil? And where is the not so good? And how do I tend to the soil that needs to be tended to? How do I work the earth? What plots of land do I have that just need that little bit more attention? Because you might look at home life, family time, ministry time, church community, and kind of go, that is good soil. That is rich soil. I see fruits from that soil. And then you might have other areas in your life, work, school, uni, whatever it might be, certain groups of friends, certain settings that you find yourself in where you're like, okay, there's a few rocks, there's a few weeds. I remember back before I started working here at GBC, I worked in child protection. And there was a great animosity in that industry for the church. Everyone knew of its history. Everyone knew of the allegations. And so there was just complete and utter distrust of the church and anyone who would associate themselves with the church. And then in came me, little Christian guy. Like, and I remember just feeling completely strangled in that space. How do I even begin to talk about my faith when there is such distrust, such anger? To the point where on one occasion, a friend, a colleague, someone who I really respected, even said to me, I don't understand how a tertiary educated, you know, emotionally intelligent, he says in faith, individual can believe in a God. Like, she just point blank was like, you're an idiot. Thanks for the laugh. I hope that wasn't in agreement. That was weedy soil. At the same time, my wife and I, we were planting a church in the Northern Beaches. There was some good soil in my life. Again, he says in faith. It's not one or the other. It's not everything or nothing. It's bit by bit, day by day, stone by stone, weed by weed. That we just need to prepare ourselves. If we want to be the people who get that glimpse, get that taste, hear that subtle message exactly about what the kingdom of heaven is like, well, Jesus is telling us where to start. You need to tend to your soil. You need to work the earth. And you need to find the parts of your crop that have the stones and the birds and the weeds, and you need to pull them out. Shoo them away, throw them away. I'm a person, this might surprise you, who gets distracted easily. And so Mark Rader, in some of our supervisions, he talks about the difference between projects and tasks. A project is too big, and you tend to just kind of put it to the side, one day I'll get to that. Whereas tasks, you can tick off. Too often we can read a passage like this. We can hear about the soils. We can have that desire to perceive the kingdom of God. And we go, that's a project. And it's too big for us to start. Sometimes it's just about finding the little tasks each and every day that help you get to perceiving the bigger picture. So what are your stones? What are your weeds and what are your birds? And bit by bit, when we remove them, we become the people that Jesus speaks about. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And it's in that healing that we really get to see what the kingdom of heaven is like. Amen? Amen.
Matt has encouraged us to consider the state of the soil of our own hearts, to pray about it and to remove any rocks and weeds, chase away any birds and cultivate good soil and therefore good seed. We pray that you were challenged, inspired and encouraged, and that God used this message to draw you closer to him, to increase your faith and to make you more like Jesus. God bless you today.